in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they, for their part, were greatly distressed. And they were greatly distressed. You cannot just say, "Welcome to ministry. Welcome to living for God." Lord, have your way as we preach today. Let this not be a drag, but let it be just a reinforcement of everything that we're feeling, hearing today in this moment. That our church, oh God, our people can grow and continue to get closer and closer to you. In Jesus' name. You want to get closer to the Lord? Say amen.
Amen.
The title of my message today is "Stressed to the Max." And it just cracked me up when the Lord gave me this message because of all the things that we've been talking about and dealing with. I was like, how could I not see that right there in the scripture? They were greatly distressed. And the Lord was just like, there it is. That's what you need to preach. And first thing I want to say is that God wants us to know that everything is going to be all right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're not dead yet. And if we're still breathing, then we're still winning. All of us are going through tough times. And we're learning how to deal with stressful and distressing aspects of living for God and doing ministry. We've all had our visions of spiritual grandeur checked by the reality of our kingdom-related sufferings. And we're all finding out just how pitiful, pathetic, and feeble our attempts at living for God really are. Every sin, every doubt, every fear, and every cockamamie idea we have collected over the years are being thrown at us like pies in our faces. We're all learning that praying, praising, and pursuing God in spite of how we feel and in spite of what we're going through is not a trite religious euphemism. It's a raw, bone-on-bone challenge every single day. We're learning to stay on task when everyone and everything, even our own bodies and minds, are telling us it's too hard, stop, quit, and give up. There is a harsh reality dawning on us that this calling to live for God and to share Him with the world is going to be the hardest thing we have ever done. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen from somebody today that the hardest things you have ever done, the hardest things you have ever gone through, have come with the greatest rewards that you have ever experienced?
Amen.
If we look back at the toughest struggles that we've experienced, you can tell me, I want you to think about this right now. If those things that you went through made you stronger, more resilient, and more resolute in living the life that God gave you to live. It's easy for us to get so focused on the negative aspects of living for God that we forget that the rewards and treasures we have in heaven are incomparable to anything this world has to offer. In Romans chapter 8, it says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us."
Amen.
Can you
Amen.
Say stressed Amen. To the max?
Yes.
If we suffer with Him, we will reign with Him. If
Amen.
We suffer with Him, we will be glorified with Him. If we suffer with Him, we will share His victory and in His kingdom. Now, I intended to skip over this little passage because this is the second time that Jesus has clearly prophesied His cruel treatment by the Jews and then his subsequent death to be directly followed by his word. The second time he said this, I thought, we've already preached on that. Let's skip over that. And the Lord was like, exactly. He said, really? Why would you skip over it? You think I put it in there for no reason at all? And he said, greatly distressed. During the first conversation, Peter gave Jesus a good talking to. He couldn't accept this prophecy. It rocked his world, and he rebuked Jesus for saying it. You're not going to die, Jesus. And Jesus turned around, you remember, and he rebuked Peter for his carnal attitude. He said, get behind me, Satan. You don't care for the things of God, but you care for the things of the flesh. Because Peter was unwilling to give up his idea of how he thought God should do things. He was willing to fight to a point, but he wasn't willing to die or to let Jesus die. At some point in all our lives, God is going to challenge us to cross this imaginary line we've drawn in the sand. Will we be willing to cross that line and follow Jesus to the cross? The second time that Jesus brings this up, his death and his resurrection, his whole leadership team went into an emotional death spiral. The English Standard Bible interprets them as being greatly distressed. And the word greatly means exceedingly, describes something that is all out, very much, or to the max. And the word distressed describes pain, deep grief, severe sorrow, and profound emotional sadness. Their emotional situation was triggered by Christ's potential sufferings, and it caused them to be mentally, emotionally, and physically distressed to the max. And here is a powerful truth. Until we learn to accept that trials are necessary, until we learn the necessity of dying, we'll be forced to live with unnecessary emotional pain and distress. If we're stressed to the max, it's because that God is calling us to something that we refuse to go through. It's because there is a truth that we cannot swallow, that we cannot allow to establish itself in our belief patterns. And so we experience stress to the max when we're fighting against what God is trying to do in us. Amen. Because he's got to do things in us before he can do things through us. He's got to purify us and clean us and make us right before him before we can be right before the world. The level of our faith in God and our success in ministry is directly related to our willingness to embrace trials and distresses. The level of our faith in God and our success in ministry is directly related to our willingness to embrace trials and distress. What is a popular message, isn't it? Stressed to the max. Peter said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you're stressed to the max. If you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The disciples had not yet grasped the reasons for Christ's death or understood God's process for bringing salvation. And when he said the Son of Man is going to be arrested and he's going to be tortured and he's going to be killed and die and resurrect the third day, those words went all over them and it got their hackles up because his truth was clashing with their convoluted ideas of an earthly kingdom. He was laboring for the spiritual meat. He was laboring for the souls of mankind, not for fat palaces and fancy buildings and big bank accounts and all of those things. And it was clashing with their ideas. And this passage is also another one of those triple tradition passages. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Remember what we said a couple of weeks ago? If it's triple tradition, it's got to be really important. And so what do we find out from Matthew, Mark, and Luke? Mark and Luke add a little detail that is crucial to understanding how to deal with unpleasant truths and experiences. You see, their great distress wasn't just caused by Christ's shocking revelation. Their stress was exacerbated by the way in which they decided to process this new kingdom. Well, I took that out of my notes. This kingdom paradigm. Mark chapter 9, verse 32. Jesus said the Son of Man is going to be killed and rise the third day. Mark 9, 32. But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. Luke 9, 45. And he said, I am going to be killed and rise the third day. But they did not understand this saying, Luke 9, 45. And it was concealed from them so that they might not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. There's only one thing to do when you're stressed to the max for whatever reason. And that is to bring it up to God in prayer. The apostle said, do not worry about anything, but pray about everything. You might say, well, I brought it up, but God didn't answer me. Well, it's also important to know how to bring it up and get the results you need from God to relieve your stress. Notice that the verses, what these verses do and do not say. They do reveal to us that the disciples did not understand what Jesus meant by his death and resurrection. It also tells us that the understanding that they lacked was hidden from them. The new information was beyond their current ability to grasp or perceive. But what the scripture does not say is that it does not say they couldn't get the understanding that they lacked. It does not say they weren't allowed to ask Jesus about it. What it does say is that they were too afraid to ask, and so they were left in the dark, and so they were stressed out to the max. If you're stressed out to the max, it may be that you need to spend a little time alone with Jesus. Because there is nothing that you cannot ask him that he cannot answer. There is nothing that you got to say that he can't handle. The Apostle Paul was stricken with a sickness in his body caused by malignant spiritual powers. Instead of letting it get the best of him, he took it to God in prayer and gained great insight, which brought him unexpected comfort. He said, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. I don't understand people. I'm like what Brother Philip said. He didn't understand people when the power of God is moving that they can't respond to. And here's something I don't understand. I don't understand people call themselves Christians that have problems that they refuse to take to the prayer closet. You don't know what to do. Pray about it.
Amen.
You're upset? Pray about it.
Amen.
You're offended? Pray about it.
Amen.
You're confused? Pray about it.
Amen.
situations, pray about it.
Amen. Right.
You've heard the testimonies here today.
Right.
Pray about it.
Right.
We don't access the greatest power and privilege that we have, which is to step into the throne room of Almighty God and call the name of His Son Jesus and say, I need some help down here.
Yes, there, come on.
And so he said that this is what God said. Now he did not take away his sickness, but he got what he needed.
Amen.
And what he needed at that moment in his life was not deliverance or healing. He needed insight. He needed understanding. But he wasn't like the others. He wasn't afraid to ask about it. Because if you ask Jesus, he will give you what you need. What did Jesus reprimand his disciples for earlier? He said, heretofore you have asked me nothing. Ask that your joy may be full.
Amen.
Take it to Jesus and don't be stressed out. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this and it should leave me. But he said to me, and this is what makes it beautiful to me, but he said to me, friend, I don't care what you're going through, the fact that God is willing to say something to you in the middle of your tribulation and trial is all the relief and the grace that you ever need, because when he says what he says to you, it will do what needs to be done to make it bearable one more moment.
Amen.
And this is what the Lord said to Paul. My grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Hallelujah. Stressed to the max. They were afraid to ask him the meaning of the words death, burial, and resurrection. Eventually, they got insight. Eventually, Jesus opened their understanding to it. But they could have avoided a lot of unnecessary emotional pain and all kinds of torment in their souls if they would have just asked him about it to start with. So how do we bring it up? This is the problem with a lot of people. They don't know how to approach God, and so they don't get answers because God's not listening. Because they're not talking to God, they're talking at God.
Come on.
Don't be a whiner or a complainer. I know David said, I make my complaint to the Lord. But you read them Psalms and watch the way he approaches God. He don't come in like a little baby whining. That's not the way David came. He was serious about it. He had respect for God. He came in there with musicians playing. He had four-part harmony choirs singing. He brought animals that shed their blood and sprinkled it out there on the altars. He came with some respect. He came with some understanding. He came with some awe towards God. Yes, he made his complaints. Don't be an accuser. You come accusing God of stuff, you're not going to get an answer. Because you're talking to God like you're the devil.
Hmm. Right.
This shall never be. Get behind me, Satan. Don't be an accuser. And don't be in denial of your very real pain. You got a lot of people go to the prayer closet, they are stressed out to the max, and they never even set their toe in the waters that are so hot that you could literally boil something in it. There are boiling hot waters of their emotions and pain, and they walk into a church service and they walk into the prayer closet like everything is okay. What's wrong with you? You're talking to God. He can handle it. Lay it out there. Tell him how you feel. Tell him what you're dealing with. Don't deny that you are in pain. So how do we bring it up? This is the way you do it. This works, folks. It's biblical and it's practical, and I've done it and it works. You start off by confessing God's awesomeness. If you want to get an answer from God, you got to start off by telling Him how awesome He is.
Yes, yes.
He knows how awesome He is, but He don't know whether you know it or not. You got to let Him know where you and Him stand. You the hoss, I the hoss, you the boss. I'm nothing, you're everything. Confess your feebleness. Confess God's promises. God, I don't know why you said that you love. I don't know why you forgave me of my sin. I don't know why you washed me in your blood. I don't know why you called me your son. But I'm here to tell you today, God is awesome. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it, but I'm here today to say thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to the cross. Thank you for washing my sins away in your blood. I've made a mess of things, but I just want to know that I am thankful for what you've done. This isn't all about me and my problems. This is about you. You are awesome. Talk about God's paternity. And once you bring it up appropriately, if you haven't praised God and worshiped God, well, I don't feel like praising God and worshiping God. Precisely. If you live on your feelings and your emotions, you'll be like a roller coaster. You'll be like the biggest swinging clock pendulum in the world. You don't worship God and praise God because you feel like it.
That's right.
Amen. You may do that when we had a Bible study recently, and I won't mention any names out loud, but somebody here will know what I'm talking about. And we were talking about, you know, getting answers from God. And we were like, well, I just opened up my Bible, and I just let the pages fall open. And God always has a word for me. And that's how I get my answers from the Lord. Well, let me tell you something. That's the way I used to get my answers from the Lord, too. And I've had it work exactly that way. How many of you had it work exactly that way? I mean, where literally you popped the Bible open, you looked at a page, and you looked at a word, and it was exactly what you needed to hear. That ain't the way I get my word from the Lord anymore. You got to know your word and know who God is and get in that prayer closet and lift Him up. If you haven't done that, then you're not approaching God the right way. You haven't brought it up in the right way. I remember a little while ago, I was caught in the middle of a conversation and almost caught in the middle of a conversation between a father and his son. And you knew it was going to be a red hot conversation. You knew it was going to be uncomfortable. You know, there's a way to bring things up. Amen?
Yes.
I always tell our leadership team, I said, if you got something uncomfortable to say, never start by using the word you. So they've got creative over the years, and they find little meaningless words to plant before you, but they still you it. You don't do this, you don't do that, you know. And you don't bring things up like that, because if you do, it's going to be on like Donkey Kong. And I walked out, and I walked into this conversation, and I heard the boy just go, blah, 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 blah. I just burned out what was going on. And I mean, by the time I got from the front door to the door of my car, the front door of the church to the door of my car, I mean, it was on like Donkey Kong. I just walked on, got in my vehicle, and I went to the house. And I ran into this young man later, and I said, boy, I said, you really approached that good, didn't you? And he said, yeah. He said, that probably wasn't the best way to approach it. He just wanted to get it over with. That's not how you approach God. God is not a vending machine. You don't come up yelling at Him and accusing Him of things. You come to God and you show Him some love. You come to God and you show Him some respect. You come to God and you show some humility and some awe before Him. Because He might just squash you like a bug. Well, hallelujah. Once you have approached God and you've brought it up appropriately, you'll start to feel different. You'll start to feel a little faith stirring inside of you. And you'll feel your whole mental focus shift from your problems to God's awesomeness. And once your mental focus has shifted from your problems to God's awesomeness, then you're ready to talk about your problems. So you got to bring it up. You got to talk it up. Confess your confusion and your pain. Confess your failures and your fears. Because we run through life accusing everybody of everything, and we never own our own problems. We run through life accusing everybody of everything, but we never own up to what we're dealing with and what our part has been to play in the situation. So you confess your confusion and your pain. You confess your failures and your feels. And you got to be specific and name names. None of this, "Oh Lord, you know I've sinned today. Forgive me, Jesus. The Lord knows my heart." Hallelujah. Yes, He does. And He's probably thinking you could use a little more detailed repentance than that, right? "But the Lord knows my heart. He knows my..." Yeah, that's exactly right. You need to spend a little more time getting to know it yourself. Be specific and name names and ask God for answers and ask God for His help. Don't tell Him what to do. Ask Him for answers. Ask Him for help. And this is the hard part. You know, a lot of times we worship a little bit. We felt our faith spark and shift. And then we've got down through the bottom of our prayer list. And we've told God everything. And then we missed the last part. We never closed the deal. We never wrapped up that conversation with God. And we never received what He has for us. And once you have brought it up, once you have talked it up, then you've got to wrap it up. And you know what you need to do at this moment? When you get done thinking of everything good to say about God, and you get done thinking about everything bad that that is bothering you, then you need to worship and wait.
Yep. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bible says that in the book of Revelation that there was lightnings and thunders and earthquakes and crashings and cataclysmic noises coming from the temple of God in heaven, and then it was silent. That's Old Testament imagery. You know why it was silent? Talks about it in the Old Testament. "Sit down here before the king and hold your hand over your mouth and be silent. Because once you've spoken to the king, then you shut up and you wait for him to speak." He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When you're done talking, worshiping him, praising him, and telling him your problems, then it's time to be silent and wait until God is ready to speak. And oh, does he speak? Oh, does he speak? And he will speak truth into our hearts. And once we know that God has spoken, and you can feel that go through you, it'll go all through you. When God speaks to you, it'll go through you right from the top of your head. You'll feel yourself changing from the inside. When God speaks to you His truth, when He reveals to you what is happening, Paul said, "The Lord spoke to me, and He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." And when the Lord spoke to him, notice how his conversation instantly shifted. All of this revelation starts coming to him. "Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." For that he said, "Now I'm content with weakness. Now I'm content." When he wasn't content when he started. He was stressed to the max when he started. He wasn't content. He was stressed out. He was emotional. He was upset. His problems were getting the best of him. But when God spoke to him, he became content. That's the goal. To hear a truth and to be able to accept it and to relax and realize God has got it all under control.
Yes.
Why did they obsess on his death? Right? I mean, the conversation ended with, you always end the conversation with what you really want to manipulate people to know, right? So you have to be careful how you, you know. And he said, and I will resurrect on the third day. Why did they obsess on the negative and not on the positive? Why did they obsess on the problems and not the eventual solution? Whatever God reveals to us, we need to repent for being unwilling to accept God's plan. We need to repent for doubting. We need to repent for being a part of the problem. Hallelujah. Job had himself a big old, we talked about that in the adult office, Job had a big old conversation with God, didn't he? I wish I had an attorney here because I'd make my case to God. I wish God was right here right now. I'd tell him what I really think about this situation. If I want to find out why he thinks it's such a good idea to put me through so much of this trouble. And doesn't he know I'm stressed out to the max? I'd like to have a conversation with him. My friends have deserted me. My children are dead. My health is gone. And my family is in disarray. And I am in the most darkest day of my life. Where is God when I need him? I'd like to have a conversation with them. And have a conversation. He did. God showed up in a tornado and spoke to him. And God pulled his Holy Ghost glasses down. He said, who is this? Do I know you? Were you there when I created the angels? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When I weighed out the waters in my hand, where were you? And he started having a conversation. God spoke to him, hallelujah. And he had a little conversation with him. Where were you when I created the animals? Where were you when I created the fish? Where were you when I created the dinosaurs? Where were you? All places in the Bible talks about dinosaurs. Where were you when I did all of that? Who are you again? God will speak to you. And it is always worth the wait. And when he speaks to you, it will bring contentment to your soul. And there will be things you have to repent over. And the Bible said when God got done speaking, Job said, I repent. I talked about things that I did not know what I was talking about. And he gave his repentance instantaneously to God. It's a trigger. Isaiah had the same experience. He was seeking the face of God. He's a prophet. He's already, you know, he's serving Uzziah, who was a very godly king, and he's just really living it high on the hog, and he's the king's preacher and all of this. And then he has a vision of God in heaven, and a voice goes out. And the Bible says that Isaiah fell down on his face and he said, woe is me. I'm a man, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips and I live in the midst of an unclean people. God, don't kill me. And God raised him up. And he touched his lips with the coal from off. He thought he was a preacher. But he never preached much until those coals touched his lips. Then he started preaching. God will speak to you. Repentance and acceptance of his truth. And repentance for your stubbornness and rebellions against his will are necessary. And then when you're wrapping it up, you accept God's forgiveness. You accept God's love. Amen. And you accept this. Thank him for the spiritual breakthrough. And that's how you do it, a conversation, right? In the end, you hug each other and you love each other and you forgive each other.
Amen.
But in that conversation, you're thanking God. You're asking for forgiveness. And then He gives you that spiritual breakthrough. And you've got to make up your mind when you walk out of your prayer closet that you are going to accept God's plan and that you're going to get to work putting it into action in your life. Let's stand together today. It's a powerful truth. They were afraid to ask Him about it. There's nothing to be afraid of today. Lord, I pray, God, today that we would not be people who are afraid of the things that we don't understand. But we serve the God who knows everything. Help us, oh God, not to be the people who are afraid to be powerless when we serve the God that has all power in heaven and in earth. Help us, oh God, today to not be confused and rebellious against Your will when we're serving the God whose will is perfect. Oh Lord, teach us, oh God, to come to You when we feel our stress level going up, when we feel our minds starting to go off the rails, when we feel our emotions starting to get poisoned, and when we feel the weakness rising up in our bodies and a great spirit of discouragement and defeat coming over us. Teach us to bring it up to You in the prayer closet. To get to You, to get to somebody who has a strong relationship with You, and pour out our hearts before You, and wait and worship and hear what You have to say to comfort us and to give us the strength and the insights that we need to press on. I pray for our church today. Oh God, You've already encouraged us. You've already poured out Your presence among us. You've already given us great blessings and great euphoria in worshiping You today. And I pray that You would let this word grip a hold of something solid inside of our hearts. That You would put a spike down into the hard packed granite rock of our souls, that it would be a nail in a sure place inside of us, that we would stop walking through the day and through the week and through ministry and through life frustrated and stressed out to the max, and that we would learn to bring these things to You and walk in this world contented and trusting in You for everything at every moment. Oh, Lord God, like the Apostle Paul said, I have learned this one thing. Whatsoever state that I am in, therewith to be content. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. I want us to pray today. You've already prayed good today, and I know you probably... I want you to just absorb this concept. God is calling us to greater things, but the only way to save the world is to die on the cross. The only way for souls to be saved was for Jesus to shed His blood. The only way for miracles, signs, and wonders and healings to take place is for us to die to self. The only way for our ministries to expand and for us to be a blessing to the world is we must have been on the cross, hanging there beside Jesus. We must spend a few days in the tomb, in the darkness, alone. We must spend a few moments in a prayer closet, battling Satan as he opposes us face to face in our prayer closet. How many of you have spent more time with the devil in the prayer closet than you spent with God? How many of you remember prayer days like that? Maybe you had them and you didn't even know that's what was going on. Oh God, help us today. You're calling us to turn the world upside down. But in that process, it means that our world is turned upside down as well. Help us to embrace that, to come to You, to walk up to these challenges with a courage and a boldness and a joy that is both shocking and dumbfounding even to ourselves. Amen. Remember all these in prayer? In dismissal, I want to pray for Vicki Klein. She's still...